Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
someone did a, there's a Reddit thread where someone tracked the number of actual basketball that was played, the minutes of basketball that were played during the three-hour NBA All-Star game last night.
3 hours?
It started at 7. It was labeled as starting at 7, and it didn't. They didn't tip off until like 7:35 because of all the stuff around
it. You know, it's like, if, you know when there's a movie and like the producers realize that it's a bad movie and they say, all right, at the very least, we need to appeal to as many dumb people as possible.
Yeah.
Let's make it 80 minutes.
Yeah.
This will be a 1 hour, 20-minute movie.
They did the opposite last night.
They were like, no, we need to have, let's put in everything.
They had a Mr. Beast challenge in the middle of the game. With Damian Lillard shooting threes against a regular civilian. That was one of the more fun moments, actually. The kid actually ended up making the shot and winning the 100 grand.
Was Mr. Beast out there?
Yeah.
With his dead, soulless eyes.
He was out there. Yeah, he was out there with a big vat of money. But there were 42 actual minutes of basketball played in the window of 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. last night. And by the way, I'm Kevin Harted out. Like, I don't need... Why there's this need to plunk Kevin Hart down into everything. Kevin Hart has, at this point, I like Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart's really funny. When they introduced him last night as like sort of a quasi surprise after they introduced the announcers and everything, I'm like, no. I'm not ready for 3 hours of Kevin. And he was on the broadcast. Like it was a lot. He was everywhere. And Kevin Hart has become one of those things. Like, I need to know if Kevin Hart is showing up. I need warning that he's showing up.
He's a little bit, in a weird way, he reminds me a little bit of Robin Williams, where there's just so much energy that you need a break from it. That,
yes.
Now Robin Williams as a comedian, not as a dramatic actor. But, like, he's just like, all right, that's enough, okay? I need a break from this.
Look,
I can't have Kevin Hart at every big event.
Well, especially when it's at every big event. Especially when he's getting plunked down in an environment that I'm not there for comedy. I'm there to watch basketball. And so, like, if I went to a comedy club, okay?
Yeah.
And the marquee had three comedians on it that weren't Kevin Hart, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the show, they're like, and here's a big surprise, Kevin Hart to come out and do 15 minutes of comedy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Which, by the way, that's nice of Kevin Hart to show up last instead of first. Like, if you're those three comedians that are lesser than Kevin Hart, and all of a sudden they're like, but hey, opening up, Kevin Hart.
I know, yeah, no, my
you're
fantasy.
Like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no.
So good job, Kevin Hart, showing up last.
In my fantasy, yes. you go. So anyways, it was... It was a mess. I don't know how much of our audience watched it last night. LeBron didn't play, But LeBron felt like, I'll still show up in all the pictures, but wearing street clothes. Like, they're literally taking the picture of his team in all their uniforms. And there's LeBron standing in the middle holding the basketball with, like, jeans and a t-shirt on.
Like he's the manager. Yeah.
Dude, put a uniform on. What are you doing? So anyways, there are a couple things that were good from NBA All-Star Weekend that we'll acknowledge shortly. So there were two.
I liked your tweet about it, which basically is like, every time they interview a player about you know, making the game better, it boils down to, like, how do we make you guys actually care about playing basketball?
It's surreal to me. It was the biggest topic in the commentary of the game last night. Was not anything going on the court. It was Draymond complaining about the format and guys getting asked about the new format, to where they're all just basically going, I get what they're doing. They're just trying to make it more competitive. I'm like, if you would try, it would be more competitive.
That's what I don't get about it, is that this is a league where most of your really good players play basketball year round. It's not like they're out there. Now, this is in the middle of the season, obviously, but these guys, they play all summer long. They work. It's not like they're afraid of work. And yet in this, they're desperate. It's like a race to show who cares least.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's wild. So there were two articles that came out this weekend that were really good. Jonathan Alexander in the Chronicle and DJ Bieniemy of ESPN.com. And they were very opposite in terms of the aspects of the Texans that they were digging into. One was a future forward-looking optimistic article. That was Jonathan's. The other, by DJ, was more backward-looking at what exactly went wrong with the Bobby Slowick era. I'm going to start with the good news, Seth. How about that? I'll start with that. Jonathan's article. Jonathan Alexander talked to a handful of folks that have had ties to Nick Caley. And talked about, like, you know, this is the position he's in now. Could you see him being in this position? What was he like when they worked with you? And there's a lot of good stuff in here. You know, Josh McDaniels was the first one that Jonathan cites. They worked together in New England for a number of years, where Caley eventually was the tight ends coach there after a couple of years. McDaniels tells this story of Caley going up to the whiteboard during his interview process to become a quality control guy, to get his first job in the NFL. And part of what Belichick does to vet out these QC guys, these quality control guys, is he has them install a defensive concept in front of the whole staff. And Josh McDaniels said that Caley just crushed it. You know, his energy was evident, his passion. Yeah. He was really, really good. Quickly rose to tight ends coach after Brian Daboll left New England to go be the OC at Alabama, and did a really good job with the tight ends there. So the New England part, it was largely McDaniels talking about how good Caley was in the building there.
I guess my only counterpoint to that, and the one that I will wonder about until we see exactly how all this looks, is that in 2021, after having been in the building for 5 or 6 years at that point, Bill Belichick decided that instead of Nick Caley as offensive coordinator, he would have Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, and Joe Judge, a special teams coach, be co-offensive coordinators.
That's a good one. We
hear all this nice stuff about how good he was in New England and everything, but for whatever it's worth, and I don't know what the whole deal was, Belichick didn't necessarily think so.
No, he didn't. Now, I will say this, counterpoint to your counterpoint, that was at a stage where Belichick was making slews and slews of horrible decisions. He was overspending in free agency, making bad signings. I'm guessing that Patricia and Judge wasn't the only staffing mistake that he made on a team that bottomed out the way that it did, right?
It was starting to look like Caserio was his binky, and that without his binky, he didn't know how to operate.
Yeah. So it's almost like during that era of the Belichick reign, I'm almost glad he didn't pick Caley, because everything else he was doing seemed to turn to stone.
I wonder if Caserio, in watching that from afar, was kind of like, wow, he chose those guys to be the coordinators instead of either with Caley or somebody else in the building that maybe Caserio liked or respected. Yeah,
everybody was looking at it that way. You and I were.
I know. But I wonder what Caserio was thinking about all of that, including the free agency splurge and everything else.
Oh yeah, big time. So that was the New England era, and then Jonathan talked to Mike LaFleur, who is a Rams coach on the staff there. Same time Caley was with the Rams, called Caley, quote, a maniac, but in the best way possible, end quote. He worked. I like this stuff, Seth, from the L.A. part of his career. He worked closely with the O-line coach. Now, Caley was the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator eventually there. He was there for two seasons. Worked closely with the O-line coach on short yardage situations and planning in the run game. Then became the passing game coordinator. Apparently he presented to the staff every week on ball security and mm-hmm. was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I need to see one of these presentations. These got mentioned multiple times in this article.
Well, that was Dave Ragone, former Texans draft pick quarterback, who's now the quarterback's coach with the Rams.
Yeah.
He said that he could hear Kaylee through the walls. Like, that's how animated he is in his meetings. And that part of it, the energy is a consistent theme, I think.
Yeah.
You keep hearing that from everybody that, man, he's Robert Mays had said on his podcast that it's – when you have a conversation with him, it's like talking to Sean McVay. It's just, he's so high energy, and you can tell how his brain works in such a way that he's operating 100 miles per hour all the time, which is cool. That's good to hear.
Yep, absolutely. Perhaps my favorite thing about Nick Kaley that was mentioned in here,
yeah.
He throws a hell of a kid's birthday party. Apparently, he one of his kids had a birthday, and he invited all the coaches and their kids to his house. And it sounds like he throws the perfect little kid's birthday party. Because a lot of times you get friends that have kids, you know, sometimes they're turning one or two, and they invite all the adults also.
Yeah.
And to me, and you almost have to go, right? Like, it's a close friend, you got to go to the birthday party, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I like when the person throwing the birthday party almost makes it like a quasi adult and kids birthday party. Nick Kaley,
they hire people to help out with the kids.
He hired lifeguards so that the kids could swim in the pool and the adults could mess around with kegs, fog machines, and live music.
You know,
that
who
is
liked
a
this?
Self-aware person right there.
You know who liked this is my mom, because my mom, like, would, you know, my family will try to rent a lake house usually every summer somewhere. Mm-hmm. And in the a couple of years ago, you know, my mom doesn't drink or anything, and she likes watching the kids. But at a lake house, you got to be careful and cognizant.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom is taken to, sometimes at the lake house, all of a sudden I'll go up to get a glass of wine or something, and she's hidden all of the alcohol that she's... because she doesn't think there's enough vigilant adults around.
She's tired of having to watch all the kids.
So this year we decided we're going to hire a babysitter / lifeguard to
so
have
you can get hammered. So
my mom can at least be comfortable with it.
There you go.
No, but my mom gets super nervous. Like, if you've had two drinks, you're not capable to watch children.
So I hear, although it's good to err to that side as opposed to the other side, I suppose.
Not when you're looking for your damn wine.
Would you err to the other side? I get that.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is that Mama Payne would be a big Nick Kaley fan.
She would. Yeah. She would approve.
Yeah. Yeah. Lifeguards so the kids can swim while the adults mess around with their kegs and fog machines.
It's not like we're getting low. We're all in our 40s and 50s. It's not like we're out there getting loaded or anything, passed out while the kids are swimming out in the 200 yards offshore.
We got to ask Nick on Wednesday when he comes on. Nick Casario. God, having two Nicks. That begin with whose last name begin with C. This is going to be.
We've got enough Ecos on this team already.
Yeah, there's right. Nico.
There's D'Amico. D'Amico. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we got two Nick C's that are friends with each other, presumably. But Nick Casario is coming on with us Wednesday. We'll have to ask him if he's excited about his first Kaley birthday party that's coming up at some point here.
The biggest thing that I like about him having worked with McVay is that he's seen two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to coaching style. And for a guy that had, and Kaley had spent his entire professional coaching career with the Patriots, we know what happens there. A lot of the guys that learn from Belichick think that they have to adopt everything that Belichick does, including his interpersonal techniques, mm-hmm. and which are genuinely, like, there's nothing about Belichick's interpersonal style that you should try to emulate. It's one of those things that he gets away with because he's so good at everything else.
Yeah.
And yet these coaches like Matt Patricia come out of there thinking like, nope, that's the way you treat people. And it ends up being part of why they fail. I like that he's seen both ends of the spectrum there, that McVay is a different type of guy than Bill Belichick is, that you can just be yourself as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of a series of things, this article, that has me very optimistic about Nick Kaley. You know, that I listened to that podcast you were talking about, Seth, with Robert Mays. He was gushing about Kaylee. So I am optimistic. He's starting with an A for me, and he's going to have to earn his F, Nick Kaylee. So there you go. Now, on the other side of the spectrum was DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN.com doing a deep dive on why and how things failed under Bobby Slowik. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there going, guys, let's just look forward. And, well, no, we can't. If we are doomed to repeat the past if we don't examine this.
It's good also in terms of looking forward. You hope that there were some issues that were so centrally because of Bobby Slowik.
Yes.
That, yeah, making a change can make change and that you're going to see a better version of these players.
Yep. So there's some really interesting tidbits in this article. Just statistically, the playoff loss to the Chiefs was the second most pressure a quarterback has faced, 56% since they began tracking it in 2009. I think in a playoff game that was. So
right.
So the last impressions were among the worst impressions with Bobby Slowik. Before firing Slowik, these are the two most interesting things in the article to me, Seth. Before firing Slowik, D'Amico Ryan sought input from some of the players on Bobby Slowik, and there were not many ringing endorsements of Slowik. And the most damning quote from, quote, one player, "I don't think we had a true identity of what the F we wanted to do," end quote.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's fair enough. Like, and that's
it
what you can
like
see
it.
With your. That was one of our complaints throughout the season. Was all right. What are these guys, and what are they trying to do?
Yeah.
And the most damning quote came, you know, when Landry asked Bobby Slowik about what after the bye week, what have you learned about what you guys are good at, and what is your identity? And Slowik really couldn't give a good answer other than that we're good at the explosive plays. And it was, and that was about it. Like, there was no real good, there was no identity of that team.
Yeah, yeah. CJ had little control. This is from the article again. CJ Stroud had little control at the line of scrimmage, changing protections. The blocking schemes were, quote, basic. There were communication issues that led to 52 unblocked pressures, which is the second most in the NFL this past season.
Yeah. And that part, I saw that grabbed a lot of traction on social media this weekend. People saying, people were either surprised that CJ didn't have a lot of control of the line of scrimmage, or a lot of people saying, like, well, but I told you so. I was the only person that said that. Like, no, we were all saying that. My question is always, all right, to what degree and what level do you expect a second-year quarterback to have a bunch of command at the line of scrimmage when it comes to pass protection and everything else like that? And that's where I'm always careful, because you never know outside the building whether it's because the quarterback can't handle more or because the offensive coordinator just doesn't want to give him that kind of control. And we still really won't know until you see it with a new offensive coordinator how CJ operates, given more control potentially of pass protection, audibilizing. It's not like CJ couldn't audibilize. It was just very limited compared to what many other quarterbacks can do.
The war of I said it first on social media is very fun to watch.
It's
from
so
afar.
Annoying.
It's
oh my
insufferable.
God. Yeah. I was the one that said this. Like, no, plenty of people
come to my
it.
Store.
Like,
you'd have heard this 3 months ago. Ay, ay, ay. Nobody cares. Chris Strausser, quote, struggled to connect with the offensive line, end quote. Whatever that means. He struggled to connect with Laremy Titus et al., according to this article. This circles back to the quote, "I don't think we had a true identity of what the F we wanted to do," led to a lot of conversation as to, oh, I wonder who said that. And I would say solely based on the position group that looked like they didn't know what the F they were doing. It's like, I'll give you the offensive line at minus 2,000 and the field at plus 1,000.
Right. And that, you know, again, some of this comes back to as well. Like, I'm always skeptical about anonymous quotes from players, because it's very easy to distance yourself from the problem as well. And whether it's the O-line cabal, the propaganda cabal of the O-line or what have you, it's not always just one thing. It's a very complicated game. And I don't think that Chris Strausser was the right guy for the job. But I think that also that, Laremy Tunsil was the only guy that had issues with false starts.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse that the O-line coach or anybody else, when everybody is having, if everybody had 12 false starts in the first six games of the season, then I might say that it was completely the O-line or the offensive coordinator's fault. But there's some individual performances that needed to improve as well.
Sounds like the Jets' loss in Week 9 and the Lions' loss in the way they played in the second half offensively, where they didn't put up any points in Week 10, were real tipping points for this team. One other damning quote, quote, when teams would take away what we wanted to do, we didn't have answers for it. And that really, that was in the end, that's what I'll remember the two-year Bobby Slowik era for, Seth, is Bobby had a great first year. The league made adjustments to it, yada, yada, yada. He had no answers.
It's the most frustrating thing about a lot of the people that follow the Kubiak-Shanahan system to a T or try, you know, the more of the original tenets of it, is that you don't really have hot routes. You know, like some of the stuff that makes it easier for a quarterback, they don't engineer it into the offense, and it's frustrating. It leaves the quarterback with a whole lot of options. If everything's not being run perfectly, then, and especially if you can't run the ball, then the quarterback's just kind of SOL a lot of the time, and that's exactly how it felt.
The last two things, and then we'll get to our acknowledgements from the weekend. The two critiques of Bobby Slowik handling C.J. Stroud. Tell me if the validity of these, Seth, or if, you know, what your thoughts are. One, he was trying to make him, quote, a system quarterback.
Yeah. That's always a complaint when the system's not operating properly. Yep. God, it's not like C.J.'s not, okay, C.J. is not ultimately going to be a guy who does his best work when he's 75% improv. So at some point, yeah, he's going to be a system quarterback. Whatever the Nick Cayley system the Nick Cayley / CJ Stroud system as it evolves, it's great to be a system quarterback.
Yeah.
The Kubiak Shanahan scheme, and I would go back to this was one of my reservations about Kubiak at times, is that it does a really good job of getting the best performance out of mediocre quarterbacks. It turns guys like Matt Schaub into Pro Bowlers. It's just, I've always wondered and worried that when you take somebody who's extremely talented, you don't necessarily develop and use all of those traits to the fullest of their ability.
Yeah, is there like a level that a quarterback in this system kind of gravitationally gets pulled to, either good or bad, right?
Right. It's like, okay, you get really good at painting by the numbers.
Yeah.
But like at some point, if you're Rembrandt, you're like, I'd like to paint outside the numbers a little bit. And they slap Rembrandt
right.
on the wrist.
Numbers.
You'll pay by the numbers. Paint by the numbers.
That is a two, and it will be green.
It's proven. We've turned out many, many mediocre plus artists with this with this technique.
Impressionists. All right, so that's number one. The other critique was that Slowik overcomplicated the reads and didn't allow CJ to play fast.
Yeah. So, I think some of that goes back to just the way he's trying to, what I worried about during training camp was when they would talk about like, oh yeah, we got all these basic concepts down, so now we can go to the 300 level stuff. And it's never that simple. When you try too hard to paint a masterpiece, you end up with a finger painting sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, it just looks like you're just trying too hard.
All right, two good articles. Depending on what mood you want to get into, I would say, if you're feeling a little ornery today, then the Bobby Slowik one by DJ Bienname is probably going to stoke those feelings a little further. If you're looking for a day, if you're waking up today as a cockeyed optimist looking at that beautiful sunrise outside, then I would say maybe Jonathan Alexander's article is going to feed your mood a little bit more. Getting excited about Nick Cayley. Both very well done, though, guys. If you're listening, Jonathan and DJ, nice job. All right, let's do some acknowledgments here from over the weekend. On a weekend, on our first weekend, Seth, with no football in forever. Boy, it's hard to find a ton of acknowledgments when there's no NFL football going on. But we did it. They're in here. We acknowledge big performances, impressive performances, noteworthy performances from over the weekend or the past week in a segment that we call Acknowledge Me. I will read the name of a person or entity. Byron, who's in for Ben today, will play Roman Reigns saying,
Acknowledge Me.
Here we go. And we had a few people clamoring for this on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. USA Hockey.
Acknowledge me.
All right, so for those who haven't been following it, and we're in Houston, we don't have an NHL team, so we're not following it here as closely as a city as maybe most every other big city is, but in lieu of the NHL All-Star Game this year, the NHL is hosting a four-nations face-off where the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland are assembling teams of NHL players that are from those countries and playing in a round-robin tournament that ultimately will end in a final game later this week. The United States is 2-0 in this tournament so far, so they've clinched a spot in the title game already with a 3-1 win over Canada. That, Seth, however, was not the most noteworthy thing about this game. There were, after rampant booing, this game took place in Montreal.
Yeah.
After booing, just loud booing of the U.S. national anthem by the...
Several times, in the last week or so, yeah.
By the largely Canadian crowd, right.
Yeah.
Including at this game. There were three fights in the first 9 seconds of this game. Like, they drop the puck, two guys square off and start duking it out. They get sent to the penalty box. They restart the game, another fight. They restart the game a third time, and there's this big scrum in front of one of the nets that turns into a third fight. And this was all going on simultaneously with the NBA All-Star Weekend, which had Wembanyama and CP3 cheating at the skills competition. Guys, four no-namers taking part in the slam dunk contest. Every prominent NBA player sitting there in street clothes watching all the proletariat do all the other things out there, like the three-point shooting contest.
I think that there's a leading up to this during the week, you just kept seeing quotes from a lot of American hockey players who are saying, like, man, I don't want to be political about this. I just want to go and play hockey against good opponents and everything. But there's something about standing there, and then no matter how much you try to take the high road, I'm guessing, you're getting booed during your national anthem, and there's a breaking point.
In
there.
A sport where, albeit fighting is not nearly as ingrained in the culture today as it was many years ago, it is a sport where getting into a fight with somebody is not going to get you a 5 or 10 game suspension or anything. You get 5 minutes in the penalty box, you're right back out there. So it is a sport that if you're inclined to use your fists to answer booing of the national anthem, it is allowed.
So, we destroyed Canada at their national pastime.
Right.
And anytime the U.S. destroys Canada in their national pastime, Canadians will say, well, like, but we're only, this is in Montreal.
Yeah.
So they say, we're only a nation of, I don't know, how many people? 20 million or so? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't do counting so well.
They bring up the ratios.
You got to remember this. Yeah. There's 436,000 youth hockey players in Canada.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, there are 389,000.
That's all that matters.
This is their national pastime. They have more people playing hockey than we do.
Yep.
And we destroyed them at it. Yes.
I think what's interesting to me. The three fights in the first 9 seconds are incredibly interesting and incredibly entertaining. But the NHL has figured something out here. If you're trying to make your All-Star format matter, I just don't know that a format exists for the NBA players where it's going to get them to play a level of basketball that's the equivalent of wanting to throw down with three fights in the first 10 seconds of a game. Like, the national thing seems way more woven into the tapestry of hockey than it is in basketball. There's not the vitriol country to country, it feels like, with basketball that there is with hockey.
It's one of those things, too. I know, like, just in rugby, I can remember being kind of shocked and realizing, like, oh, wow, there's, like, genuine hatred here between when these guys play. It's chippy as hell between Canada and the U.S.
Yep.
So if you remove all the political part of it currently, I think there is, like, it's a natural rivalry because of the geography of it all.
Yes. Mac McClung.
Acknowledge
will acknowledge
me.
Him. Won his third straight slam dunk contest. He, of course, the G-leaguer. That is, I believe, part of the Orlando organization because that's whose jersey he was wearing in the slam dunk contest. Four dunks, four perfect scores, and they were all deserved. I was actually out watching this game, watching it with a couple buddies, and it was fun. We were getting into some debate. Is that a 50? No, that's a 50. He had four perfect 50s. He jumped over a Kia on his first dunk, like literally jumped over a car. So that part was fun, and Stefan Castle was really good in this as well from San Antonio, but... Hey, man, three straight dunk contests. He's been the only reason, Mac McClung, to watch the slam dunk contest. And for those who don't know, he's a 5'9" white dude. So the visual of him doing all of his dunks is somewhat jarring, I would say.
Being short is a big one, especially because when you slow it down and you see the still frames of it and everything up over the air. It's good to be short in the dunk contest. Was there any point, though, where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that? Because he didn't actually jump over the Kia, did he? He vaulted himself over the Kia.
He jumped up, and then it's hard to describe on radio.
It feels like he pushed himself off of the basketball.
There was a guy holding a ball with his head out of the sunroof of the Kia.
Yeah,
and so he may have gotten a little extra vault from that, but it was impressive, man. Like it was crazy. So we acknowledge him for winning the dunk contest. Will Anderson Jr.
Acknowledge me.
Always a chance. There weren't many actual sporting events going on this weekend outside of these two All-Star festivities. So I'm just going to acknowledge some of the discussion and talk about some players that I like. Will Anderson Jr. Jalen Milroe at the Super Bowl sat down with, I think it was at the Super Bowl. Jalen Milroe, former Alabama quarterback who's going into the NFL draft from here in Katy. Was asked who's the baddest teammate that you had at Alabama. I was asked this by Florio.
While you were wearing the Alabama uniform that you encountered that was the baddest guy you've seen.
Baddest guy. It's hard to narrow down one. You know, being at school, it was a lot of great dudes. But I'll say someone that challenged everyone to be better each and every day, Will Anderson. Will Anderson competed his tail off. He was a great leader. Someone who was a captain for us, someone that played early on, so he understood the standard of excellence that it took to being the best version of himself. And so the success that he's gained, you know, with his time in the league now, you know, it's no surprise to me. And it just took the preparation in the dark. Now it's coming to shine. So I'm just happy for all his success that he's had.
Badass leader, badass teammate, Will Anderson.
So we acknowledge Will Anderson for what he did at Alabama.
For being a badass,
ago.
And
good job being a badass 3 years
and
ago at Alabama.
And taking it here and fostering that. I'm acknowledging Jalen Milroe's quote right there and further acknowledging Will Anderson for taking that energy and bringing it here to Houston.
Yeah.
So that's Will Anderson. Tom Brady.
Acknowledge
Tom me. Brady doesn't get enough acknowledgement, having won 7 Super Bowls. Vince Wilfork gushing about Tom Brady as a teammate.
Act like one of those bougie quarterbacks, you know?
Yeah, that's what made
him. He's a great team.
Yeah.
He talked to everyone. And I would see Tom, you know, rookies coming in, and they would have a jersey, and Tom would sit there and sign. He would never tell nobody no. Yeah. He don't care who you are. He don't care how long you've been in the league.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He would sit, and he would sign for you, and I'm like, you know what? That's a lot of kudos go to him because, you know, quarterback has a stigmatism to them where they a-holes.
Yeah.
But Tom, probably one of the greatest teammates I've had.
Definitely. I think he meant stigma there.
He
stigmatism
did.
Not that common amongst
that sounds
NFL
like
quarterbacks.
Something like Carmine Jr. would have said on The Sopranos. Malaprop.
Who's the Is there an NFL quarterback that's gotten a stigmatism? Like a cross-eyed NFL quarterback?
There's got to be. I don't know. You figure if anybody would know, it would be me, because I examine their faces with great detail, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? And people might say, like, yeah, what's the big deal with that? It's not a huge deal, except that there are guys like Kurt Warner, who at one point decided that he couldn't be bothered with autograph requests by his teammates, so
really?
You had to go through one of his reps.
I
had a guy. I remember talking to a teammate who had been on the Rams that was like, "Yeah, this guy." Like, all of a sudden, midway through the season, he was like, "Hey, listen, fellas, from now on, please direct your autograph requests to
disappointing because of where he came from. You know what I mean? Like he was a grocery bagger, right? And he tryout. Oh, that's.
But then he became Kurt Effin Warner.
He did.
Yeah. And then that was a whole different deal.
Yeah.
And now he spends most of his time on social media admonishing people to be more civil.
He is. He's very insufferable on Twitter. That's a good point. Yeah.
I agree with everything that he says, but it, at one point it becomes like, all right, Kurt, you're here. You're like you're in the party, Kurt.
Right.
I know you're super devout, but you're also advertising gambling like the rest of everybody.
Yes,
here.
He
like,
is.
Don't act all holier than thou all the time,
then
also not sign autographs for your teammates.
This is an acknowledge me turn petty cast all of a sudden. I like it. Jalen Hurts.
acknowledge me.
We'll acknowledge him again. He was a Super Bowl MVP. Some video starting to surface of the Eagles the night before the Super Bowl and a lot of different guys getting up in front of the team and making speeches. Here was Jalen Hurts' speech to the Eagles the night before Super Bowl 59.
Last time being here changed my life. It changed my life and it changed my mentality and it changed everything. Because for so long, you know, I was seeking. What would I do when I got this moment again? What would I do when this opportunity met me again? On the biggest stage, everybody watched. I didn't get benched. I put on a good show. And I couldn't have done that without you guys. But I left that so empty. Don't it matter but winning. And when you talk about team sports and you talk about everything that we've gone through, that's been a mission this whole time. So, you know, for all the hard work and all everything that we've been able to do to this point, just take it one play at a time, let it come to you, and ask yourself how you want to be remembered.
Yeah, the aftermath of the Super Bowl win over the Chiefs really came to light just how much Jalen Hurts had been carrying around that Super Bowl from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He had a great game that night and it wasn't good enough to win that
game.
Well,
and if you think about, too, the ride that he's been on since then to where it looked like everything was just falling apart in Philadelphia at the end of last season and in the playoffs, that the fact that they found themselves that back there that quickly, it's a good example, Sean, for those of you who might be feeling depressed and trying to figure out, like, the offense was so miserable. How could they ever make a grand leap ahead? And especially what they bring in, Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore is our offensive coordinator now.
Right, worked out, man. It worked out. All right, last one, Reed Sheppard.
Acknowledge me!
Reed hasn't been great as a rookie. He's had his struggles. I'm still optimistic that Reed Sheppard's going to become a good NBA player. He was at the All-Star festivities because he played in the Rising Stars game on Friday on the rookie team, and he was asked about his Cocaine Curry nickname.
What do you think of the Cocaine Curry thing?
I think it's cool. It's funny, so I don't know. It's a good time, so it's cool.
When did you first hear that?
I heard it in Kentucky last year. I don't know when, but it was like in the middle of the season or something. So we thought it was funny.
Have you ever talked to Steph about that?
No, I've never said anything about that.
I was hoping the last question would be: have you ever tried cocaine?
Yeah.
No. No.
He's shooting. Look. In the NBA, he's shooting 27% from the three-point line. He's bath salts Curry at this point. All right, you can't. What's he going to do? Go up to Steph Curry? Have you ever talked to Steph Curry about it? Well, first of all, that conversation can only be had if Steph Curry himself makes a joke about it.
Right.
Reed Sheppard can't go up to Steph Curry and be like, hey,
Right. Do
you know they've nicknamed me after you? It's pretty cool. I'm Cocaine Curry. Oh, really? What's your three-point percentage? 27%! I gotta tell you, listen, they call me Cocaine Curry. And I'll tell you why, Steph. I'll tell you why. It's because of my shooting ability. He's like, is it really?
Sure, it is.
What's your three-point percentage? It's 27%. But I got a plan. I'm working on it. I got a plan. I've been practicing like 12 hours a day, and I'm ready to go. And it's really cool. I can't tell you how excited I am. I mean, Steph, it's like you and I are brothers, I swear.
Bath salts.
Oh my
Curry.
God. Cocaine is a hard drug. I could not. I was just like that for 17 seconds and I'm exhausted.
The nickname is kind of disrespectful to cocaine. I'm not going to lie.
It's disrespectful to Steph Curry and cocaine.
And cocaine both, yeah. He's still Cracker McBuckets on this show.
Cracker Mc sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what I call him.
Yeah. Cracker McMeh. McMid.
Cracker McMiss. Yeah.
Cracker McMiss. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Those are our acknowledge me's from the weekend. Mock Draft Injection is coming up next. This is a good one. This is a 7-rounder. We're not going to do all 7 rounds, but the first 3, and especially the 3rd-rounder, kind of fun. So stick with us for the Mock Draft Injection. Also, be listening to the Odyssey app for an hour each day to Sports Radio 610. For your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, if you win, you and three friends are headed to Vegas, to Circa, to watch basketball, to to watch the college basketball championship tournament, the stadium swim, the sports book. Plus, you'll have an extra $20K in your pocket to spend while you're in Vegas. Download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and that's your daily entry.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is officially draft season, and we do a mock draft injection this time every day. We get you your daily dosage of mock draftage for the Houston Texans each and every day at this time. On occasion, we find mock drafts that are more than one round. This one's a 7-round mock draft from the staff at Pro Football Network. We're not going to go through all seven rounds. I promise you that. We try to keep it to the picks that you guys are most interested in, the relevant picks. Not yet. Not yet, Byron. Yeah. Just laying it out. Byron Matthews in for Ben Gary today. But Pro Football Network did a seven-round mock draft. So let's hit this thing here. And again, offensive line has been the recurring theme. And it feels like there's a different one each draft we do. With the occasional wide receiver sprinkled in, we've had a defensive tackle, Kenneth Grant, in one of these mocks so far. We're going to do this every day between now and the draft in April. But this Pro Football Network draft, as we roll down here to the 25th overall pick for the Houston Texans, Seth. With the 25th pick, there we go, in the Pro Football Network seven-round mockaroo, the Houston Texans select Cameron Williams, offensive tackle, offensive tackle, University of Texas. Now, this plays into something that you and I actually had a discussion about last week. I think I asked you, like, what we've seen so much interior offensive line drafted for the Texans in this exercise. We haven't seen a true tackle who would actually play tackle at the next level drafted. Here's what they say about Cameron Williams of Texas. Texans need to throw everything at their offensive line this offseason. Some of that will need to be done through free agency, but they also need to add talent in the draft. Williams is somewhat of a risk, having only played 1 year as a starting tackle in college. Still, the size, athleticism, and raw talent will make him an intriguing prospect for the Texans. Putting him at the right tackle spot early in his career should help mitigate initial concerns, and he can learn from Laramie Tunsil. There we go.
Yeah.
Williams has the potential to be a long-term left tackle when Tunsil moves on, but he could also be a more solid bookend opposite Tunsil to help protect C.J. Stroud entering his third season. My only complaint about this one is it completely ignores Blake Fisher and drafting him in the second round.
Yeah, and also that I think Cameron Williams, he's a big, strong guy. And he does some things really well, but I think he's a project. Like, he's one of these guys that still moves a little bit like an oversized teenager, which isn't a bad thing when it comes to offensive linemen. Lots of those guys start off moving like that, but like, you want your upper body and lower body to move in conjunction. Mm-hmm. And I'd be surprised if he goes in the first round at all. So, you know, maybe he becomes this year's Blake Fisher. But then you're looking at, all right, Blake Fisher is still a developmental guy himself. And that maybe they like Titus Howard moving down to guard, but only if Blake Fisher is 100% ready to be the starting right tackle. It's just, in the first round, there's just too much uncertainty there for me. I'd love him as a second-round pick, but I just don't like I don't like that notion. And I think in most of the mock drafts that have come out, you know, since the new year started, he's more of a second-round guy than a first-round guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen his name floating around the Texans at all. Others that were on the board at the time of this pick in this mock draft, Kenneth Grant. So if I were sitting with you at the mock draft, or if I were sitting with you at the draft party, Seth, with both Kenneth Grant and Emeka Abuka both on the board, and they drafted Cameron Williams, I would imagine there'd be disappointment there.
I'd be disappointed, yeah. As much as hard as it is for me to get disappointed by any draft, I mean, I am much more aligned with Nick Caserio, where I hate acting like you know how these guys are going to be the day after the draft. But yeah, Kenneth Grant I get excited about when I watch his film.
Right.
Cameron Williams I'm more intrigued by when I see him. I think, yeah, there's definite upside there. But Sean, I'm impatient. I want things now, and I want guys where I feel like, yeah, plug him in today. Let's go.
I get it. So the other two picks that we'll do the second and third round picks in this draft real quick. Again, this is Pro Football Network's seven-round mock draft, just because they're interesting, fun maybe. This one is interesting to me. With the 58th overall pick in the Pro Football Network mock draft, the Houston Texans select Donovan Jackson, guard, Ohio State. He's the one that's from here at Episcopal locally, so he's a local kid. It's strange to me, Seth, because I almost see like Cameron Williams and Donovan Jackson like flip-flopped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Donovan Jackson's the one that we've seen in more first rounds of mocks. But at any rate, that this particular mock has them throwing serious resources at the offensive line.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, just given what the needs are. I just, and without getting too wrapped up in drafting for need or drafting for, you know, best player available. Yeah, I've got a real appetite for getting an interior offensive lineman in the first two rounds, especially if that's the best guy available amongst the defensive tackles, offensive linemen, and wide receivers. There is at 25, and they take a tackle. I would feel upset about that.
I wonder how the fans would feel about that. Like, because the fans are clamoring, like, you gotta get help the O line. What if they threw their first two picks at the O-line? I could see a lot of the fan base going, well, not that much. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think actually, and it goes to show just how bad the interior offensive line has been in the playoffs, yeah, especially in elimination games the last couple years. I think a lot of people would be excited about it way more than the typical team looking at it. Because, you've already got Nico Collins at wide receiver. You know, you've got
Mixon.
You've got running back. You feel good. Like, at all the money positions, yes, everybody would love more depth at wide receiver on any team. Last year, we had three good wide receivers, and I would have taken another one. I don't care. Can't have enough wide receivers. Likewise, can't have enough offensive linemen.
All right, so whereas the first two picks in this draft are very meat and potatoes, maybe be even boring to some of you because it's O-line, it's not sizzly new toys for, yeah, C.J. Stroud. Now this one, with the 89th pick in the 2025 Pro Football Network mock draft, the Houston Texans select Cam Scataboo, running back, Arizona State. Hell yeah. Let's go.
That was, man, the last time I saw him, he was all over the place. making plays basically every other player, every other series there. And I'd be excited about that.
Seth's talking about the playoff game between Arizona State and Texas where Scataboo was throwing the ball. He's catching deep shots. I hated him.
Yeah. I was disgusted and I was sick of hearing about him. But now that he's a Texan, that was one of the greatest nights of football I've ever watched, yes.
And he's very deceptive in how he doesn't look like somebody who should be getting deep down the sideline or definitely look like somebody who should break as many tackles as he does. That would be fun. Dude, if I'm doing the draft show, that's day two, so I do the day three draft show. But boy, if they got him on day three, that would be a real coup. All right, so there you go. People are also noting, Seth, that Matthew Golden of Texas, the wide receiver, who we've seen mock to the Texans once or twice.
Yeah.
He's kind of going in that range that in this particular one, he goes 22nd to the Chargers. He's almost openly campaigning to become a Houston Texan.
He is?
Golden, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
He's made comments about it. He followed CJ Tank and the Texans on Instagram this weekend. That's always a sign, you know?
Wonder if he's going to go, may sneak into a workout somewhere, you know?
Mm.
Just show up or just throwing that out there. Like, hey, guys, if you ever need somebody to throw to in the offseason, I'm available.
Go to California with them or go to that wide receiver coach that Tank uses, very specific wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
Use that guy. I forget his name. All right, there's your mock draft injection for the day, folks. Basically three injections for you, first, second, and third round. Two O-linemen and a Scataboo for you in today's mock draft injection. All right, up next, we head into the 8 o'clock hour. We love anonymous quotes on this show. There's a lot of things we love on this show. Pettiness, mock draft injections, anonymous quotes, especially when they come from NFL executives. 10 NFL executives rank the 7 NFL head coaching hires based on fit. There was a runaway winner in this one. Does this make us nervous at all as a Texan fan? We'll do that coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Toyota has been building a legacy of excellence for years. From developing hybrid technology to upping the standards of safety and efficiency, Toyota is always innovating, always making progress. And with Toyota's superior lineup of SUVs in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out an adventure-ready RAV4, designed to be the perfect mix of style, practicality, and go-anywhere attitude. Or test drive a capable and affordable Corolla Cross with the space and available tech to keep you cool and connected. And both RAV4 and Corolla Cross are available with all-wheel drive, giving you the freedom to roam. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota. Let's go places.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.